This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Hope everyone's having a great start to their Thursday. It is not a TD Thursday today. So, Tyron Davenport not with us today. He is out at Mike Borgonzi's pre-draft presser, which we will play for you later in the show. So, we will have TD for the full show tomorrow. It'll be a TD Friday. But because of the change, we are thrilled to be joined once again for the second time this week by Max Herz from Preds Radio as we prepare for the Preds season finale tonight. Max is live over at Bridgestone Arena. What's going on?
Hi, Jake. Morning. It's sad going through this and thinking about how it's the last time for the season.
I know. And when we talked on Monday, I really thought the next time we talked, it would either be today getting ready for a win and in game, or tomorrow hopefully getting ready for the playoffs. But obviously Monday night did not go the way that we hoped it would for the Predators. Slow start, couldn't really get the offense going. Scored a couple late from Luke Evangelista, but came up short and are eliminated from playoff contention. But Max, overall, what were your thoughts on the game on Monday against San Jose?
Yeah, I think it was a disappointing performance in the latest of a series of must-win games, and the Preds found different ways to bring it in a lot of games that they had to win before that over the last month, and they just didn't have enough in that one, which I thought was really surprising because I think they're much better than the Sharks, and I don't think the Sharks really did anything exceptionally well. I don't think the Predators were able to get to their game, and they didn't get to it until really the last 5 minutes, like you said. So that was disappointing for them to go down and not really fight back in the way that they have through the second half of the season. So I think that really does feel like an empty loss. And coupled with the fact that the Ducks went and lost to the Wild's AHL team on Tuesday night in Minnesota, that would have meant that this game was winning in.
Exactly. I mean, that was the disappointing part yesterday, waking up and seeing that the Ducks had lost. And it's disappointing to know that the help that you needed actually came through, but you couldn't get to win on Monday. And, you know, there were a couple of things in that game that I know the icing call is what a lot of people are going to talk about. What were your thoughts on the way that played out? I thought, you know, the goalie played the puck. It probably should have gone to center ice, even though I couldn't quite tell if it actually did get across the goal line.
Yeah, that seems like one where it's a 50-50 call. They may have missed the call. So just bring the face off to center and make it a wash. So I thought that was the easy move there. For some reason, they were very stubborn about it. They didn't want to hear the Predators' argument, it didn't seem like. And look, that doesn't mean you're automatically going to give up a goal. And they still gave up a goal. They had the puck taken away just outside their own blue line. And they gave the best players on the other team what was really a 3-on-1.
Yep.
So I mean, you can't blame the icing fully for it, but that was a terrible call. And honestly, there have been some just poorly administered and poorly officiated moments over the last month that have gone against both teams in the Preds games. You hate to see moments like that defining these late-season games, and you would rather see the officials take a hands-off type stance and make the safer move in those situations.
Right. It was disappointing because even though it was the Preds hadn't gotten much going in terms of good chances, it was still only 1-0 at that point, and then Macklin Celebrini was able to make it 2-0. Preds were able to get one back. Luke Evangelista got behind the defense, made it 2-1. Andrew Burnett pulls the goalie with 2 minutes 13 seconds left. I know hindsight's 20/20, and you know, you look back, the Sharks got the empty netter. I always want to know, like, what is your idea of when you think the goalie should be pulled? With your season on the line, I do understand pulling the goalie a little bit earlier on, even though it didn't actually end up working out.
With how little you've generated in that game, especially, I think the earlier the better, and that was the right time. There were 2 minutes and 13 seconds left. They had an offensive zone face-off. They had their top guys coming out fresh. They didn't have to use the timeout yet to get it. So, no, I think that was the perfect time, but the Preds have not been great 6-on-5 this season, so it was going to take a bucking of a trend if they were going to score. So they did end up getting one after the empty netter back at even strength and then trying it again, and they just threw the puck to the net. I liked the approach there. They got a tip from Halla before that. That almost went down and in. And, I mean, they got their looks for a game where they didn't deserve it. They were within one, and they were looking at the end. So you can't be mad about the finish, I don't think.
No, I agree. I think the Preds gave it all they had down the stretch. You just wish the offense came a little bit earlier on. And Luke Evangelista, he was more of a distributor this year than a scorer. Only had 10 goals coming into the game. But I thought it was really nice to see the way he scored those two goals, getting in behind the defense, using his speed to get to the net, and then just battling at the net front for that second goal. I mean, he was all up in the grill of Nedeljkovic for that second goal that made it 3-2.
Yeah, in a game where the Preds' breakouts were the problem, the first one, that great cut through the neutral zone to get himself open and make the pass pretty simple for Nick Perbix to lead him into a breakaway, that's what the Preds have been missing all game. So I love that move by Evangelista. And on the second one, like you said, you're never wrong to go to the front of the net, especially in that situation. Would have liked to see that desperation much earlier in the game, but the Preds didn't have the puck in the zone enough to really establish it, I don't think.
Preds were eliminated from playoff contention on Monday night after that loss, and then a couple hours later, the Kings were able to hold on and beat the Kraken, and the Kings and Ducks clinched the final two playoff spots in the Western Conference. The reactions after the game, I thought, were really telling of the way this group felt about each other. I think you saw the veterans. You could see it on their face in the post-game press conferences, in the locker room scrums, that they really thought they were going to pull it off, and the disappointment of not being able to do it. I think that really shows you the difference between last year's team and this year's team and the buy-in you got, especially from your veteran players.
Yeah, this team went down together, and they were only in it because they came together. So I think that's exactly what you would expect and hope to see. But it really was a group that thought they were playoff bound. And I still think they deserved it. I think they are better than the Kings. We'll see what happens tonight with the Ducks. They know they're in. The Kings and the Ducks are still up for grabs for third. And the crazy part is the Oilers could still drop into the wild card too. But they're playing the Canucks tonight. So if they win, they take care of that. But I think the Predators are a more playoff-worthy team at the bottom of the West than these other teams in there that struggled to the finish line. And I would have liked to see them in there. I would have liked to see how they matched up with the Avs. And I think the Predators would have had the goaltending advantage in that series. I'm still not a believer in the Avs goaltending situation, despite how obviously good they are as a team and how good they make their goalies look because of that. I would have loved to see what that series looks like. I think the Avs would absolutely destroy the Kings if that's the first round matchup. So I think the Preds were the best option here, and it really stings the guys like Stamkos and O'Reilly and Yossi and Forsberg, who have been there before, who have been to the finish line, who have played in the Cup final, and know that this team had some ingredients to get there, even if it was intangibles that were going to make them a playoff-worthy team.
No, I agree with you. I mean, the Preds were a far from perfect team, but when you compare the Ducks and the Kings and the Preds as opponents for the Avs, I think Colorado might be happy that they don't have to face a team that does have a couple of Conn Smythe winners on their team, and Steven Stamkos, who's won back-to-back cups with Tampa Bay, and Philip Forsberg, and UC Soros in net. Like, I think Colorado, if they had their choice of who they didn't want to play, it probably would have been Nashville.
Yeah, and under Andrew Brunette, the Preds have played the Avs well. So I don't know. It's past worth thinking about at this point. But we were all gearing up for it for a reason. So
Preds made it interesting down the stretch after a slow start, but fall short of the playoffs for the second straight year. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have any thoughts, questions for Max, we will get to those throughout this whole first hour as Max joins us live from Bridgestone Arena. Our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. When we come back, we'll get Max's thoughts on the season as a whole and where the Predators go from here. We'll also talk about tonight's season finale, maybe a debut happening tonight for the National Nashville Predators. And the NHL playoffs still will roll along even if the Preds aren't in it. We'll get Max's thoughts on some of the matchups we'll see in the opening round. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We are off and running on this Thursday morning. Jake Lyman, Max Herz, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Tee it up with us at the 5th Annual 615 Open, May 28th at Hermitage Golf Course. We are once again supporting Folds of Honor to help them fund life-changing scholarships for families of America's fallen heroes. Register now to play or sponsor at 615open.com. Jake Lyman, Max Herz from Preds Radio, Parker Kelly with you on your Thursday morning. Talking Preds for the full first hour. Mike Borgonzi is at the podium right now doing his pre-draft press conference. We will play for that for you in the 10 a.m. hour. But Max, we talked about the Predators down the stretch, made a run to the playoffs, but obviously came up short with the loss on Monday night. But overall this season, I think you can look and say this was a playoff quality team for 4 months, but the beginning of the season obviously still counts just the same, and they just weren't able to overcome such a slow start to the season.
Yeah, I do think this season was a win in a lot of respects in terms of what different players showed you. I think you learned that the Steven Stamkos signing is one that can work for you and one that can go two more years if he plays out this contract with the Predators, which he's made it clear he wants to. And I think with his production this year, combined with the veteran leadership that he brought even when he wasn't scoring goals, that contract has more than enough value for the Preds to hang on to and not try and move Stamkos this summer with the new GM. I think the other things we saw was movement from the young players. Matt Wood, especially playing center for the last month and a half of the season, showed you that he is a piece and potentially a top line piece for the team long term, which is a really big deal. Evangelista made big strides after the contract dispute. I think he was a little underratedly playing to prove that his career is going to be a long one this year, and I think he showed us that. And I think the decor still has some questions, but I think Nick Hague was a good acquisition this year. And Eustace Onnen made some strides at backup goalie and started the biggest game of the season for you. So I think a lot of guys showed you new things with the young players mixing in who are starting to have impacts too. And you made strides in the right direction for sure and showed that last year was a fluke and hopefully a one-off and something the Preds never go through again, because I don't think they want to go through that again.
Right. I think you can say that this team took a step in the right direction. And you mentioned a lot of the young players. I think that has to be one of the biggest bright spots. After the trade deadline, you saw some of those young guys who there's a lot of promise for, a lot of hope for the long term of this franchise. And you got big contributions from Matthew Wood. You got big contributions from Ryan Ufko. And you saw flashes from guys like Zach LaRue and others that make you think that they can be long-term pieces for this team moving forward.
Yeah, and Barry Trotz did deliver on what he seems like he had told us over and over again every week here on 102.5 The Game. He's holding the roster spots over with some veterans until he feels the young guys were ready. And for most of those guys, he didn't think that point arrived until halfway through this season. And the way he maneuvered the deadline showed that timing, and I think it worked out. They didn't think Zach LaRue was playing well enough to make the team on opening night. They thought he was good enough to play in the final 25-plus games of the season and play a pretty big role. And I think he played well. Joachim Kimmel had a great preseason, made the cut. They didn't have much room for him in the lineup at the beginning and had a pretty short leash before sending him back to Milwaukee. Now here at the end of the season, he's playing the most he ever has, and I think he's made pretty good on that playing time and will push to be a regular from the start next year. He's someone who has more tools that the Preds haven't deployed yet at the NHL level. I think he's earned himself a right to show those at the beginning of next season, and preseason will be a start of that. For Fedor Svechkov, I don't think he's had a great season, but he's survived it. He's going to end up playing 70 games. He's going to play in different roles throughout the lineup. He's played with everybody, and I think he's proven that he can be an NHL center. He still has a lot of room to grow, but he's the guy who they brought up ahead of schedule and had to use more than they wanted to. So I think back to the way Trotz has phrased this the whole time, Jake, that he knows the timeline for his guys and was trying to help them get there on their own schedule. And I think that did work out. even if it doesn't always look the cleanest with how much the roster changed, I think it was done properly this year. And the fact that they almost made the playoffs while doing it, I think is a plus for them, despite the fact that, hey, if you are bringing up your young guys, maybe you'd rather have a better draft pick. But I think the way the Preds engineered this, they wanted it to go this way. And boy, would it have been great if they snuck in. But I think these guys did prove a lot even without that bonus.
Yeah, I agree. And I think with Barry Trotz, he's talked about threading the needle and trying to stay competitive at the NHL level while also building up the prospect pool. And we've seen that the young prospects, the ones that we've seen already in Nashville and the ones that are yet to make their debut, it's looking pretty strong for the future of the Predators. Obviously, you wish the last 2 years went better at the NHL level. But Barry Trotz stepping down, they're looking for his successor. And we've talked plenty about what that might look like, who that could be. But in general, no matter who it is, Max, this is an important offseason. What do you think are some of the biggest decisions that are going to face whoever the new GM is?
I think philosophy will be the biggest decision, and I think that will come across in interviews. So I think some of that will be at least privately predetermined as the new hire or hires are picked, if they hire both a director of hockey ops and a general manager. And Steven Stamkos said this yesterday. He was looking at it through the GM's lens during his interview, and he said, is the GM going to see how close we got this year and say, hey, I'm keeping this crew together? Or is the GM going to look at it and say, hey, they haven't made the playoffs the last 2 years. Let's change everything. So there are going to be differences in philosophy between what new executives think about what could and should be done with the Preds. I think the biggest thing will be prioritizing where the young players fit in alongside the veterans that you have, because you're not really losing much this year. Eric Halla is a UFA. Tyson Jost is a UFA. Both those guys have only been here one season. So other than that, if you want to keep everybody, you could keep everybody. But it's about, where is Matt Wood going to play? Who's Matt Wood going to play with? Is Brady Martin going to be NHL ready this year? Who is he going to play with? Who do we want to try him with in preseason? What is it going to be like deciding whether or not Martin can make the team? And also, there's a chance he can play in the AHL next year if some rule changes that sound like they're going to go through do go through with roster rules. So it's about, where do these homegrown guys fit in? Where do the veterans fit in? And I think the D is where we could maybe see some bigger changes. The majority of the veteran defensemen are under contract going into next year. I think Adam Willsby is in line for a bigger role as long as he can stay healthy. I think Ryan Ufko has shown you enough that he should push to make the team out of camp next year. And I also think that they need Tanner Molendyke to be in the NHL next year. Maybe not at the beginning of the season, but that's something they've got to be prepping for. And I think that's something you make decisions in mind with as well. So you know you have Josi and Shea at the top. Josi still has 2 years left on his contract, taking him through age 37. Brady Shea still has 5 years on that free agent contract. Perbix and Haig are both under contract for next year. So I think there's a balance between keeping it together and maybe finding some places where you can create some flexibility, whether it would be moving a veteran out or bringing somebody new in to try and find a fit somewhere with someone.
Yeah, and I think you can look at last year's offseason and say that there wasn't a whole lot of flexibility to change wholesale what the roster looks like, but they added Nick Haig, they added Nick Perbix. Do you think this offseason it might be more about what the guys you already have and the growth that they have heading into next season? You mentioned Brady Martin possibly making the team. I think Tanner Molendyke would be a huge piece. And some of the other young guys taking a step like we saw from Luke Evangelista this past year, that could be where the most growth comes for the Predators in 2026.
Yeah, definitely. When you have ascending players on your roster, guys that you know everything about who have been pro players for 3-4 years, like the group that's up in the NHL right now, You know what you got, and you can dream on them a little bit. So I personally, unless you find somebody you love, would rather have those premium spaces in your lineup left open for someone like Kimmel to get a bigger and longer look, rather than bringing in a veteran if you don't have to.
Yep, I would agree with that. Just because you don't know what the ceiling is for some of these prospects at this point. If you go and bring in a veteran to play on the third line off the streets, you probably know about what that guy's going to be at that point. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Again, if you have any thoughts, questions, we've got Max for the full first hour of the show today talking Preds as the Predators get ready for their season finale tonight against the Ducks over at Bridgestone Arena. Lots to be excited about tonight's game, especially the possibility of a debut. Aiden Fink, he's been down at Milwaukee, been tearing it up, and has been signed to his entry-level contract. We'll talk to Max about what that could look like if he makes his debut tonight. And also, it is Fan Appreciation Night, so some reasons to head out to Bridgestone Arena and cheer on the team one final time this season. We'll get into all of that coming up next. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Jake Lyman, Max Hurst, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 the game. Next man up, 1025 the game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you here in our studios. Max Herz is out at Bridgestone Arena getting ready for the Preds season finale tonight against the Anaheim Ducks. 7 o'clock puck drop over at Bridgestone Arena. And Max, one of the big storylines for tonight's game, Aiden Fink possibly making his NHL debut. Before we get into why that may happen and the pros and cons of it, just what have been your impressions of the player, Aiden Fink, as he's made his way up from Penn State, played a couple of games in Milwaukee, and now has been added to the active roster for the Predators?
It's a pretty cool to see the seventh to last pick of a draft 3 years ago have the success he had, and it's such a cool story that David Poile got that one final draft pick on the floor. Tom Fitzgerald and the Devils made a seventh-round pick swap for David to make one more announcement and get one more standing ovation at the draft here in Nashville 3 years ago. And, I mean, what a last little bit of perfect Poile magic that this turns out to be a player. And he had amazing numbers in the AJHL the year in his draft year for the Brooks Bandits, who are a great team in that league for a long time. They recently changed leagues to move to the BCHL from the AGHL. But like all I remember from David Poile, Aiden Fink from Brooks, and he wasn't at the draft, and we talked to him about this yesterday. He was in one of his first college English classes at Penn State that day, so he could not be at the draft. He got the call. He spoke to David Poile on the phone. He immediately understood the magnitude of the selection and, of course, was honored to be picked. And after three really productive years at Penn State, he plays six AHL games for Milwaukee over the last couple weeks and is basically their best player with 3 goals, 10 points in 6 games. And Kevin Gravel is here too, the Admirals captain, and he might play tonight with some of the injuries the Preds have on D down the stretch. And he said, like, thank God we got Aiden Fink when we did, because we needed skill down the stretch with all of their high-end skill players up on the Preds down the stretch. He stepped right in for his pro debut and became one of the best players on the team. So it's really a great story. And like you said, we're not sure if he's going to debut tonight. He is able to. He's on the squad. He practiced with the Preds yesterday. But it's pretty crazy looking back at that 2023 draft. The majority of the first round has debuted, and we've seen a lot of those players in person now. But for even with the second round, the second through seventh round, and Fink was the seventh to last player picked in the draft, only 16 guys out of 192 outside of the first round have played in an NHL game.
Wow.
3 years later.
That's crazy. And, I mean, Aiden Fink, late in that draft, going to possibly make his debut tonight. And, Max, I know there's been a little confusion, even from us here, about the implications of him playing. I know he signed his 3-year entry-level contract earlier this week. It starts this year. Does it burn a year off of his contract if he plays tonight? And what would be the pros and cons of having him make his debut in a game that obviously doesn't have any meaning for a playoff race?
It does not change anything contractually.
Okay.
Since the deal starts this year, this is a year on it. And that's
gotcha.
Common. That's common for college players. And he signed that on Monday before the Preds were eliminated. So it's not necessarily a, hey, let's give him a game and a contract because we're out of it type situation, which I think is why we were not 100% sure that he would play tonight.
Gotcha. So that's something, I mean, that's a reason to come out to Bridgestone, see Aiden Fink possibly play tonight. I know Andrew Brunette has not exactly made a concrete decision on that one way or the other, but a chance to possibly see him make his NHL debut here in the Pred season finale. Max, it's also Fan Appreciation Night, I believe, over at Bridgestone Arena. So lots of reasons for fans to come out to Bridgestone and cheer on the Preds one last time this season.
Yeah, there's a ton going on, and I'm bad at remembering what's where, so I'm going to pull up the list of things we have going on right now. Let's see. It's been Fan Appreciation Week all week.
I believe so. I saw it's, what, the first 10,000 get a gold Preds cowboy hat tonight?
Yeah. We've got the gold cowboy hats, so gates open at 5:30, so first half of the fans in will come and get some of those. We got tons of other stuff going on. Tons of giveaways throughout the game. So, yeah, make sure you're here. It's really, really sad that this is the last one. Felt like the crowd was really gearing up for playoffs, and our fans have been so amazing all season. And to get those meaningful games down the stretch again for you guys has been so great. So let's do it one more time.
Yeah, it's been really cool to see the atmosphere in that building, especially for some of the big games that have been played over the last month and a half. And going to be cool to have one last one, even though it does not mean there's going to be playoff hockey. Something that I know a lot of people are now focused on since the Predators have been eliminated is the draft lottery. And we did see last year, the Islanders jumped from 11 to 1. The Preds, I believe as it stands right now, are the 11th in odds. Is there any significant jump that can be made based on the result of tonight's game and some of the results around the league?
They can move one spot in either direction. If they win tonight, they would move back in the lottery to 12th. They would pass the Devils, who are done and are 1 point ahead of the Preds. If the Preds lose in regulation and the Blues win tonight, the Blues would pass the Preds and the Preds would be 10th in the lottery. Blues play Utah tonight. Utah has nothing to play for. So they can move one spot in either direction. So no significant change. Right. But if you go from 11th to 12th, and you win the lottery, you don't get the number one overall pick. You would move up 10 spots from 12 to 2.
Right.
That would be significant.
And that's something we saw last year, correct? Like the Islanders moved up from 11 to 1, but I'm forgetting somebody else moved up 10 spots and couldn't get into the second spot.
Yeah, that was Utah.
Yes,
right?
Utah moved up from 13 to 3, which I thought was pretty crazy. So, I mean, that's something that will be interesting to keep an eye on as we head towards the summer, especially because the Preds would love to add somebody in the top 10 again that can add to what is already a pretty deep prospect pool. And the Preds have multiple draft picks again, so maybe could be, depending on what the new GM wants to prioritize, could be moving around with some of the second and third round picks that they've acquired as well.
Yeah, they have a ton of draft capital, so that's a lot of freedom for the new front office to be coming in with, for sure, and something that they can either use at this year's draft if they have things they want to do right away, or things they can hold on to or push down the line to get more futures.
Right. Preds have put themselves in a good spot with the prospect pool and the draft capital they've gotten through trades over the last few years, and going to be a very important offseason coming up. But one more game to go again tonight, 7 o'clock against the Anaheim Ducks, 6 o'clock pregame right here on 102.5 The Game with Max. We've got one more segment with Max here on this Thursday morning. We will talk the NHL playoffs as a whole and wrap up the Preds season coming up after this. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have any questions, get those in on our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jake Lyman, Max Erz, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Today, the Nashville Sounds take on the Worcester Red Sox at First Horizon Park. First pitch is at 6:35, and you can catch all of the action on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Family Leisure and Social Cantina. Jake Lyman, Max Erz, Parker Kelly with you, wrapping up hour number one on this Thursday. Final segment with Max, as the Predators play their season finale tonight. Max, let's get your thoughts on the overall NHL playoffs. As the Eastern Conference is already set, everybody's played all 82 over there. What do you think of the way the bracket sets up? Buffalo and Carolina win the division. The Sabres finally snapped a long playoff drought. Do you think they could be dangerous as we roll into the postseason?
I am a Sabres believer. The series I'm really intrigued by is Lightning versus Canadiens in the first round. And the Lightning have earned home ice in that series, which I think may be a deciding factor. I would have loved to see that series start in Montreal. That would have really been something. But Tampa with home ice, I think that may be tough for the Canadiens on what's really their first go-round as a real contender, top-of-the-conference contender. I think the Penguins can beat the Flyers. I don't think the Penguins have enough to go beyond that. So I like the Hurricanes coming out of the Metro as long as they can get past the Senators, which I think they can pretty easily. So I feel like it's going to be the Lightning over the Sabres. I don't know. I haven't done my full thinking on this yet, but I think the Hurricanes are coming out of the East. I think the Stars are coming out of the West.
Wow.
I am very high on the Stars. And if I had to pick a cup champ right now, I'd pick the Stars.
Dallas is a very good team, and they have the third most points across the entire NHL, but finished second in their division behind Colorado. I did think it was funny. I don't know if you saw this, Max. Buffalo clearly not used to hosting playoff hockey games, because the first two days of games they're supposed to host, they have Tate McRae and the Wiggles playing at their arena.
I think that was fake, actually.
Oh, it was
but
fake?
I do like the sentiment.
I wanted to believe it was real because I thought that was hilarious that the Wiggles were going to stop the Sabres from playing a home playoff game. I thought that was hilarious. I know you have thoughts on the playoff format, Max, too, and I saw this last night. The Penguins and the Flyers would be the 7 and 8 seeds if you just seeded the Eastern Conference 1 through 8, but they face off in the first round. Kind of similar to what we'll see in the Western Conference, where the second and third highest point totals are going to face off in the first round. It is just so weird how this playoff format ends up matching teams up in the first round.
Yeah, and it's not changing, so it's not really worth even critiquing.
Right.
But the NHL's thinking on this is they understand that good teams are going to get knocked out in the first round because of this, but they want great first-round series. And I think Stars and Wild will be a great first-round series. And I think Lightning Canadiens will be a great first-round series. And it gives you the regional rivalries that you used to have very frequently in the regular season. And with the changes in the schedule, you don't play your division as much. So Penguins Flyers as a playoff series is extremely valuable for the league. So that's why they like this format. And I think the argument for it is the NBA first round has become basically meaningless, and also they've added a round before the first round. And look, the NBA is playing right now. I have no idea who's playing. So I think the NHL does have it right in a lot of respects, despite the fact that a few teams are going to get screwed over.
Yeah, the NBA play-in, I know, has been going on, and some people really like it, but I'm very glad the NHL has not decided to copy them and adopt it, because you play 82 games for a reason. I don't think one or two games should decide who gets into the playoffs. Like, there's a reason you have the point system and you have the standings the way they are. You don't need to add two more teams to a field that already has half of the league into the playoffs.
Yeah, and they're not going to do that. They've made it pretty clear every time that Commissioner Gary Bettman or others that are decision makers on this have been asked about it. They said, no, we like what we've got. We know it's not perfect, but we think it's perfect for us. And I actually admire them for that a little bit. And if the players wanted it changed, it could have been collectively bargained in the most recent agreements, and it's not a priority for the players. I think the players have the hockey player mindset that we're going to have to get through everybody anyway, so it doesn't really matter who we play first. We just want to win, and we just want to play. So I think the hockey mindset is what really shapes this, and the fan bickering doesn't make it through because the players just aren't wired that way.
Right. The players know they've got to win 16 games to lift the cup. So, whoever they put in front of them, they'll figure it out. The only thing that's really up for grabs tonight, and we touched on this earlier, is the seeding in the Pacific and that final wild card, Edmonton, Anaheim, and LA, all within a point of each other. Is the nightmare scenario for the Avalanche that somehow Edmonton loses to Vancouver and falls into that second wild card and has to play, and the Avs get the Oilers in the first round?
That would be crazy. Yeah, because Utah is locked into the first wild card, so it'll be Mammoth and Golden Knights in the first round, and I'm going to be tempted to pick the Mammoth in that series.
Yeah, I kind of like that.
I really like them. Yeah, the Kings could have home ice as by far the worst team in the playoffs, which would really be something. Oilers have 91 points. Kings and Ducks each have 90. One of those teams is going to have home ice as second in the Pacific. One of those teams is going to be third in the Pacific, and one is going to be the second wild card and face the Avs. All three of them are playing eliminated teams tonight. The Ducks play the Preds, the Oilers play the Canucks, and the Kings play the Flames. You know one of them is going to slip up with how terrible this Pacific race has been.
Yeah, and talk about the tale of two sides of the bracket. If one side in the West is Colorado, Dallas, Minnesota, Edmonton, and the other is Vegas, Anaheim, LA, and Utah. I mean, that would be hilarious, but it's just the way that it all worked out. Max, final thoughts on this Preds season as a whole. I know we went through a lot of it, but I really do think, even though you come up short and you don't want to take any moral victories, the way this team was able to rally after the stretch where you lose 11 of 13, a lot of people were calling for the coach to be fired, to be able to come together and get within one game of reaching the playoffs, I thought was really impressive by this bunch.
Yeah, I think the team was really well coached this season. I think they got everything they possibly could out of players like Steven Stamkos, Ryan O'Reilly, Philip Forsberg, and Roman Josi. Like, the best players were the best players. And we saw how different the team is when Roman Josi isn't playing, even over the last week. But when he had injuries earlier in the season, that was when they dug themselves a hole. So Roman Josi is still the leader of this team and still the guy who makes the biggest difference on the back end. Stamkos getting to 40 goals is unbelievable. The progress from the young players, I think, is a really, really positive sign going into next year, and gives you a lot of hope for what this team could look like as they go through some changes. And I think a lot of these things are happening at the right time, and it's not the way that other organizations would design it on paper, but it's where the Preds are. They've gone through the plan. I think for the most part, it has gone as they would like it to. And I think they're at a really interesting spot right now because I think they could contend next season. So I'm just thankful that I get to be a part of this whole thing. I'll leave that as my closing thought. Just how much fun it is to be on the radio and be at the game. And I'm really sad this is the last one. So I'm looking forward to seeing everybody tonight and hopefully having one more fun game on home ice.
Yes, it has been so much fun getting to chat with you about the Preds week in and week out and talk about this team as they've tried to make this playoff push. But one last game at Bridgestone Arena tonight. 7 o'clock puck drop, Preds and Ducks. 6 o'clock pregame with Max. Go say hi to Max at Barrel House pregame if you're heading out to Bridgestone Arena. Max, always appreciate you coming on. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, guys, thank you.
Max Erz from Preds Radio joining us as he does every week. And the Preds again, their season finale tonight at Bridgestone Arena against the Anaheim Ducks. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have any thoughts on the Preds, we'll try and get to those later on in the show. But we are a week out from the NFL draft. And Mike Borgonzi, just earlier this hour, talked to the media about the draft process and what the Titans might look to do next Thursday as the NFL draft begins. We will play that press conference for you coming up next. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 102.5 The Game.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.